Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jim Cotton. Jim Cotton and Kim Puckett have been growing and foraging for their own food for years. Now, have you always been interested in producing your own food and in gathering your own food, Jim?
Basically, yes.
Why do you think it's so important to eat local or to be so in touch with your food?
A lot of reasons, but the driving force lately has been one of carbon footprint and climate change. I really advocate keeping close and simple to the land, using as less energy as possible. Being outside, being in nature, doing for yourself, very rewarding.
Uh-huh. And you have a home in the Arcata Bottoms.
We do. We're very close to the Sun Valley Bulb Farm, and we have an acre of ground, all tillable. We raise a lot of our foods.
And you have kind of an interesting raised bed idea going on out there.
Yeah. We used to make our raised beds out of wood and found that they only lasted in this environment 3, 4, sometimes 5 years, and that just wasn't sustainable. So we went to cinder blocks, and our beds are 4 feet wide by somewhere as long as 20 feet, but mostly 12 feet, and we line the bottoms with a quarter-inch hardware cloth to keep the gophers out.
Yeah.
And then we put it all on drip. So it's all automatic watering, and it's not as labor-intensive as you might think.
And I like that it's higher up, too, so you can kind of sit on the edge of it and work in the garden a little bit without
yes.
having to get on your hands and knees in the mud.
Absolutely. Yeah, I planned ahead for my senior years.
Uh-huh.
Made the space between the beds 3 feet, and so I could still get a wheelchair there and tend the beds while sitting in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have a lot of blueberries.
We do. We took out our front lawn and put in a little over 30 plants. No more lawn mowing, no more waste of time or gas.
Uh-huh.
That gives us plenty of food through the winter. We freeze them, make jam out of them, give away what the birds don't get.
You also do a certain amount of foraging as well.
Yes. In berry seasons, you know, salmon berries, slough berries, huckleberries, thimbleberries, Himalayan berries, all kind of berries.
We live in a good berry place here.
It's the best.
What types of mushrooms?
Oh, at this time of the year, king bolitas are excellent eating mushrooms, as well are the chanterelles and the matsutakes, the tan oak mushrooms. You just have to get out and pay your dues to find the spot. And then, of course, there's shellfish, you know, mussels when they're in season, and crab and fish.
And you spent a lot of time on the ocean yourself.
I spent about 6 months out of the year on the ocean for the last 15, 20 years.
Uh-huh. So you're pretty comfortable out there.
Very comfortable.
So it was not a real big leap for you to get a pontoon boat.
It wasn't. You know what I like about pontoon boats? We have a rowing pontoon boat, so you don't have to listen to the engine, and you don't need to smell the fumes.
Yeah.
So it's very peaceful.
Yeah, that's funny you should say that, because I do tend to get sick sometimes when I go out on the ocean. I think like probably 90% of it is the diesel exhaust.
I've seen a lot of people sick because of the fumes, yes.
Yeah. So now you last year really got started with the idea of going out and crab fishing.
Yes, that was a new experience for me. I'd been out with some friends before on their commercial boats and watched that action. And it just seemed a little too labor intensive for me. So I decided on going with a pontoon boat because it was manageable by one person. And mostly we set ring traps instead of crab traps, the big crab pots, because they're light. They fish very fast, like 15 or 20 minutes, you can pull them up. We've been very successful.
Wow, 15 or 20 minutes.
Exactly. You know, most crab pots, you set them out one day and you let them soak for a day or two and then go back and retrieve them. And they can be quite heavy pulling up. But these ring traps are lightweight and they fish fast.
Where do you put in?
We put in Trinidad. And we fish in depths from right from the shoreline out to about 90 feet, but usually in 60 feet of water or so.
So do you get very far outside of the Trinidad Harbor?
We get just outside of the harbor, yes,
okay.
Out by the what they call the cans. There are navigation aids out there.
I'm thinking there are things about tides and swells and currents that you might want to keep an eye on.
I've been out in as high as 11-foot seas, and it wasn't very comfortable, although we felt very safe. But usually we try to keep it under 6 or 7 feet and always watch for the swell height, and the direction will make a difference. And also the period between the swells is big, meaning that you want to have no more than a 1-to-1 ratio. Okay. 6 feet at 6 seconds, for example, would be a 1-to-1. And that's pretty steep.
Now, what is the limit per person per day is for a sports fisherman?
It's 10 crabs. If you're sport fishing, it's 10 crabs, male or female, and they have to measure 5 3/4 inches.
Well, that's interesting. It could be male or female because commercial fishing is males only. Isn't that right?
That's correct. And we found in Trinidad, it's only about 10% of the catch are males. It's almost exclusively females.
So do you notice any difference between when you eat them? Is there a difference between the males and females?
I haven't noticed any.
Okay.
No.
So how many people fit on your pontoon? And when you go out, how many do you usually bring back?
We can take 2 people on the pontoon.
Oh, okay.
Myself, 1 other.
Okay.
And we usually come back with limits, actually. So we come back with 20 crabs with 2 people.
And how many crab did you get last year?
Well over 300.
Well over 300 crabs?
Yes.
You were popular.
Popular amongst friends.
Yeah, amongst
friends. We give a lot
too.
Away.
Yeah. So what other things do you fish for when you go out?
This last year, we've been going out after a rockfish, which has been more challenging. The area around Trinidad has seen a lot of competition. Lately, with the kayakers, it's become very popular. So we haven't been all that successful and thinking about exploring other areas like Shelter Cove, perhaps, Cape Mendocino, further up the coast toward Crescent City. The advantage of a pontoon boat is that you can launch through the surf and feel very safe compared to a monohull boat.
So. Now, do you take any equipment for yourself? Like, what if you punctured your pontoon or something?
Always. Take a pump, take a patch kit. Life jackets are essential.
I'm thinking about some way of communicating with the rest of the world, you know, like the Coast Guard.
Well, you know, cell phones, we're not out that far. I mean, we seldom get out more than a mile, mile and a half from the shore.
Uh-huh.
So cell phone communication, if I didn't have a cell phone, then I would definitely have a VHF radio, uh-huh. handheld, so I could call
uh-huh.
Coast Guard or whoever.
Or whoever's nearby, and
exactly.
one of the fishermen might
exactly.
come give you a hand.
Right.
Now, when you prepare your crab, what is your favorite way to prepare it?
Well, I cook them live, and I just throw them in boiling water and leave them in boiling water for about 13 minutes, and uh-huh. the water is salted. And after that, take them out, chill them down in an ice bath, take their backs off, and then eat them.
Some people say that if you cook it in seawater, it's better. Have you tried that?
You know, I haven't. It's just been fresh water because we have a hose bib close to the cooking station.
Yeah.
Right. And it's salty enough anyway,
uh-huh.
especially when you put a little bit of salt in the water.
Yeah. Make crab cakes or anything like that? Or do you find that it's best just eat them out of the shell?
My wife always said she never got enough crab. Until last year. At the end of the year, we started making crab cakes, and they freeze quite well.
Yeah, it's good to be able to preserve some of this stuff. If you have an overabundance sometimes, and especially with your garden, I'm sure that you find that you need to preserve a lot of it for the winter.
We do, and that's actually as much, if not more, work than the actual growing of the vegetables
mm-hmm.
and the fruit.
So you also have several apple trees out in your orchard.
We do. We have 7. And I've started to learn how to graft, and so we have more than 7 types now. We're finding that we like to dehydrate most of them,
mm-hmm.
but my wife likes to make apple juice, apple butter, and applesauce. So it's great in the middle of winter to break open a jar of applesauce.
Uh-huh. It's like having summer or having fall right there in your cupboard. Tell me about juicing the apples. Now, how do you go about juicing them? Do you use like a small press?
We have a friend who has an apple pressing party every year, and she tells everybody to bring over a trash can full of apples, and we run them through her grinder and then through her press, and everybody goes home with quarts of apple juice. It's great.
That's a nice thing to do because it's a messy sort of thing to be cleaning up the press and everything, and you
yeah.
only want to do it once for everybody and be able to share some of that work and share some of that cider with everybody.
Yes, it's kind of like making ice cream. Everybody gets their hand at turning the crank.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite variety of apple?
I like Jonathan's.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan's are kind of a sweet tart apple. They make great pies. They're great dehydrated. They're just an all-around good apple.
Yeah. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Jim Cotton and learning about growing your own food here in Humboldt County. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.